Sunlight crests the Earth's surface as it rotates in the Milky Way. Giant gold letters revolve around the planet, spelling Universal. A registered trademark symbol appears at the corner of the L. As the Americas swivel by on the face of the blue globe, more words appear below. An MCA company. Titles appear in white resembling a child's scrawl. Universal Pictures and King World present. A brown-haired boy in a multicolored beanie sits on a front porch writing a note in crayon. A large white American bulldog with brown patches and a perfectly shaped brown circle around one eye sits next to him. The boy folds the note and, using a clothespin, attaches it to the dog's collar. The dog runs down the stairs at the front porch. The canine trots to the edge of the front yard and looks around, tail wagging.
Go get him, Petey!
The boy sits on the porch with his head in his hand. Petey dashes through a suburban neighborhood. A Penelope sphere is filmed. Young boys play baseball in a field. Petey leaps over a chain-link fence and approaches an outfielder dressed in a vest and bowler hat.
Petey, what's up, pup?
The outfielder crouches to read the note on Petey's collar.
Get it, Stymie, get it!
Chasing the fly ball, Stymie runs to the fence.
Hey, man, listen to me! Don't worry about it!
He holds his hat out over the fence and catches the ball. Stymie throws the ball back and sprints away from the game. Petey leaps back over the fence and runs after him. The view rises and a title appears over puffy clouds, The Little Rascals. Casting by Judy Taylor, CSA. Linda Gordon, CSA. Costumes designed by Jamie Burrows. As Petey runs past Hillside Market in Delhi, a man puts up posters reading County Fair, Go-Kart Derby. Music by William Ross. Petey hops over a low wall and scampers to a house. Sitting on the porch, he paws the doorbell. A boy in glasses opens the door. He reads the note attached to the collar as Petey tries to lick his face.
Be back later, Mom.
The boy runs down the driveway. Petey cuts through the yard. Co-producer Mark Allen. Edited by Ross Albert. Petey runs down a long tree-lined sidewalk. Production designer Larry Fulton. At a pond, two boys, one with braided dreadlocks and one in a baseball cap, stand back-to-back fishing on opposite sides of a dock. Director of photography Richard Bowen.
Got anything, Porky?
Not a bite, Buckwheat.
A view underwater shows a fish swimming near the two hooks, which catch on each other.
I got something!
Me too! A big fat one!
As Buckwheat tugs on his line, Porky teeters forward on his toes until he's nearly parallel with the water's surface. Now, Porky yanks his line, pulling Buckwheat down to the same angle. They take turns, one lifting his pole while the other teeters forward.
Yo, Petey, come here!
Petey pulls Buckwheat up by the seat of his pants.
Thanks, Petey.
Porky falls into the pond. As Buckwheat turns around in surprise, he climbs back up.
Hey, Porky, look, a note.
What's it say?
Porky holds the note upside down. The message reads, "Emergency meeting. Be there or die. Spanky."
We gotta learn to read.
Executive producers Gerald R. Mullen, Deborah Jellin Neumeyer, Roger King. A view shows a big city skyline. Story by Penelope Spheris and Robert Wolterstorff, and Mike Scott and Paul Gway and Stephen Mazur. On the edge of downtown, a group of boys runs across a lot piled with junk to a ramshackle dwelling. Screenplay by Paul Gway and Stephen Mazur and Penelope Spheris. The bespectacled boy lets the others into the dwelling one by one as each wiggles his fingers under his chin. Two other boys hang back on a hill and watch.
Go on in. What's the high sign? Go on in.
Buckwheat arrives with Porky, who sticks his finger in his nose.
Wrong sign, Porky. Okay, go on in.
A capuchin monkey makes the sign.
You're okay, Elmer.
The bespectacled kid blows a raspberry at the boys on the hill. He shuts the clubhouse door.
You little creep.
Produced by Michael King, Bill Oakes. A sign reads, "He-Man Woman Haters Club." Woman is spelled with a U instead of an A. Directed by Penelope Spheris. Boys scramble to find seats as Stymie faces them.
Gentlemen and gentlemen, I give you our president, Spanky. Yeah!
Spanky enters waving. He takes a bow before walking through the aisle and shaking hands with club members.
Nice to see you, Spanky.
Hey, Spanky, what's up?
How
Good to see you. Your fly's on the line. Welcome.
All right, Spanky. Hey, Spanky!
I'll raise your right hand.
The boys raise their left hands.
Your other right hand.
As the others switch hands, one boy lifts his left.
I.
Stymie.
Member and good standing of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Swear to be a He-Man and hate women and not play with them or talk to them unless I have to. And especially never fall in love. And if I do, may I die slowly and painfully and suffer for hours or until I scream bloody murder.
The boys stare, their right arms still raised.
Do solemnly swear to be a He-Man.
Outside, the curly-haired boy on the hill addresses his red-haired friend.
You thinking what I'm thinking, Wim?
Yeah, Butch. What are we thinking?
How much fun it's gonna be to stop those guys in the race.
Spanky eyes another boy.
Ready to take down the minutes?
As you know, today I called an emergency meeting
for a very important reason. But first, any good stories?
Buckwheat.
Yeah, this morning my sister left the toilet seat down.
Women make men miserable. Froggy.
Yeah, there's this girl who moved in across the street. And she came over because she wanted to play. But don't worry, I got back in her.
What'd you do?
I whipped out my lizard.
Froggy takes a live lizard from his overalls.
Are you getting this, All right, men. Let's talk about the pride of our club, the Blur.
A go-kart.
The Blur has never been beaten since the beginning of time. By years.
This Sunday, we defend our honor, our undefeated streak, and our trophy.
Yeah! Best of all, this year's trophy will be presented by none other than the famous Indy race car driver, A.J. Ferguson.
Wow, he's the best driver in the whole world.
Man, can I have an azuga? Azuga, azuga, azuga.
They all pump their fists.
Hey, nice azuga.
Yeah!
And now the reason for the emergency meeting, the choosing of the driver.
Stymie holds out his hat to Spanky.
A driver should be a man who's a He-Man.
A He-Man so manly that if he fell off a building, he'll go out of his way to land on a girl.
Spanky takes a paper slip from the hat.
John, this year, our driver's name is none other than my lifelong chum, my best buddy in the whole wide world, the one and only Alfalfa.
Okay. Is Alfalfa.
A view glides down along the spiky cowlick jutting from a boy's slicked, center-parted hairdo to his blue eyes, freckled face, bow tie, and suspenders. A dark-haired girl with a cherubic face clutches a parasol as she gazes back adoringly. They sit in a rowboat on a suburban canal.
You are so beautiful to me.
Petey leads the club along a high footbridge.
There he is, you guys. Come on. Quiet, Petey.
They gaze down.
Oh, no.
This is awful.
Buckwheat, hand me your fishing pole.
Oh, Darla. We are two hearts with but one beat.
Unnoticed, Spanky lowers a tin can on the fishing line near Alfalfa.
Two souls with but one...
Alfalfa's eyes dart.
Shoo.
Then how can you belong to that silly woman haters club?
You know, I'm a woman. Sort of. Let me tell you something, Darla. I'm not like those guys. I'm a sensitive male.
I'm in the sharing, caring...
Using another tin can, Froggy listens in.
I'm in touch with my feminine side.
How nice.
It's worse than I thought.
You know, Alfalfa, the big talent show with the fair is coming up. And I was sort of wondering if maybe you'd like to sing with me.
You mean it? I'd be honored. Hey, I've got an idea. Let me take you on a picnic tomorrow.
Excuse me?
So while you feed my soul, I can feed your face.
Cool. And to prove you're proud of me, why don't we have our picnic in your clubhouse?
No!
Tomorrow? Swimming day.
Sure.
Oh, Alfalfa, you're a sweet poo.
Yeah. She smooths his cowlick down and gives him a kiss. His cowlick instantly springs back up. Petey buries his muzzle in his paws as Alfalfa paddles the rowboat along the canal. Butch and Woim sit in a go-kart labeled the Beast.
All right, Woim, ready for the test run?
Ready, Butch!
Butch drives the go-kart at high speed down the street. The rear bumper falls off.
Look, there goes our bumper!
More metal pieces come loose from the sides.
All this red for nothing!
They turn to see still more parts falling into the street. Strolling by himself on the curb, Alfalfa wears a dark suit and carries a bouquet of flowers.
Everything's working out perfectly. The guys are at the swimming hole, and I'm at home with a toothache. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
As he steps from the curb, the Beast careens to a stop.
Hiya, Butch.
Shut up! When's the last time we beat you up?
Let's see. Today's the 10th, 30 days past September, April, June, and November. It's not a leap year. Yesterday.
You're due.
Look!
Alfalfa points skyward and runs.
I don't see nothing.
Come on, you doink!
Let's go. He can't run very fast. Come back here, you ugly little squid!
In sped-up motion, Butch and Woim chase Alfalfa down an alleyway and into a building. Alfalfa dashes from an auto paint shop. A van drives out painted blue, save for two children's silhouettes on the side. Butch and Woim exit the shop covered in blue paint.
Yeah.
Two girls play hopscotch outside a house while Darla paces on the sidewalk. Alfalfa runs up to her with the bouquet, one solitary flower remaining among the stems.
Come, Courtney. These are for you.
They close their eyes to kiss. A Doberman pincher knocks Alfalfa to the ground and stands on top of him. A chauffeur opens the back door of a luxury sedan and the dog hops in.
Good doggy.
A boy in a nice suit comes over.
I hope Fifi didn't startle you. She's so playful.
Darla smiles.
Forgive my effrontery, but you, miss, are a rare rose in a garden of weeds. You have the sophistication of a woman of 12.
My name is Waldo Aloysius Johnston III.
I'm Alfalfa.
Yes, I'm sure you are.
And I'm Darla.
We just moved into town. My father bought the oil refinery.
That explains why you're so refined.
Yeah, and so oily.
Watch it, bud.
The neighbor girls giggle.
I hope to see you again soon.
That could be arranged. I'll be appearing in the talent show coming up.
Yeah, the two of us will both be singing a duet together.
How redundant.
Thank you.
Well, I shall be going now.
Waldo bows his head and sweeps his hand out in front of him.
Whoa.
Waldo takes a seat in the sedan.
What a hunk. He's smoother than a baby's bottom. And he smells better, too.
In the clubhouse, as Darla looks around at the various odds and ends, Alfalfa knocks down a pictogram sign of a crossed-out woman. He closes the door, then seals it shut by flipping two latches made of small wooden blocks.
Oh, you're so nice for bringing me here.
He smiles at her. He opens a closet door and pulls down an ironing board covered in a tablecloth and set with two dinner plates, a water glass holding flowers, and a three-armed candelabra. Spanky and the others peer into the clubhouse through a gap between planks in the wall. Alfalfa strikes a match, lighting the candles.
A candlelit lawn
Thanks, I'm dazzled.
Froggy reaches inside through the gap and grabs a bottle of soda. Alfalfa blows out the match, then sits on a whoopee cushion atop his chair.
Excuse me.
Froggy refills the soda bottle from a shoe.
I seem to have a little farfugnugan.
No problem.
Froggy puts the bottle back.
Grape soda?
Yes, please.
As Alfalfa pours them each some soda in fancy disposable glasses, the boys outside stifle their laughter.
Plus.
They both take a sip.
Mmm.
They spit onto the floor.
This tastes like somebody poured it for an old boot.
Actually, it's a sneaker.
On a things-to-do list, Spanky checks off sneaker juice.
Must have been a bad year.
Porky scoops kitty litter, reaches through the gap, and puts it in a sandwich.
Maybe we should strap on the old feed bag.
Which sandwich did I bring?
This one. Why don't we swap? What's yours is mine, what's mine is ours.
You know just what to say to take a girl's breath away.
Porky looks on.
This'll take our breath away.
Alfalfa takes a bite. Darla makes a face as she chews.
Porky, you sure know how to make a sandwich.
That wasn't sand, that was kitty litter.
Don't worry, it's pretty fresh.
Alfalfa struggles to continue chewing.
You made a delicious sandwich. So did you. Very crunchy.
Maybe we should move on to dessert.
They bite into white snack cakes. Darla pulls a piece out of her mouth.
It's a surprise.
She pulls a heart-shaped ring from the cake.
It's beautiful. I had to eat 6 boxes of Cracker Jacks to find it. It's a symbol of my undying affliction for you.
I love diamonds.
She shows off the ring on her finger. They smile at one another, then Alfalfa scrunches up his face. Under Darla's tender gaze, he wiggles his ears. Petey and Elmer look on.
I was wrong about you, Alfalfa. You're not embarrassed by the woman you love.
Darla, would you thank me for it if I asked you for a... big wet one?
What?
A kiss?
Okay.
They lean forward and press their lips together.
Oh, man.
Gross.
The boys head to the front door.
Get out! Open up and say, ah! Wow, 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 wow!
Why, thank you, Alfalfa.
He blows out 2 of the candles and hurriedly stows the ironing board back in the closet.
Open up!
In my hurry to eat, I forgot to give you the tour. Here's the wall. Here's the other wall, and here's our closet.
Have you lost your mind?
Do you want to go in there?
Just as I thought, you are ashamed of me.
I'm not ashamed of you. I'm proud of you.
Open up.
I just don't want anybody to see you.
Well, that doesn't, mister. I'm out of here.
Alfalfa exits the clubhouse with a bandage encircling his face from head to chin.
Hiya, guys. You're back early.
How's the toothache? Bub.
Dennis pulled my wisdom teeth.
So that explains why you're acting so stupid.
Well, we're going inside the clubhouse.
No, you're not. Oh, such a nice day outside, isn't it? Egg knows what's going on in there.
Darla drives the blur through the back wall.
Hey, what's that noise?
Alfalfa looks inside the clubhouse and sees the closet on fire. Smoke fills the room. He shuts the door, blinking, and faints.
You two call the fire department.
Yes, sir!
Buckwheat and Porky salute. The other boys run into a shed. They exit, metal buckets in hand, dressed in yellow coats, black boots, and firemen's hats. Spanky turns the crank on a fire alarm. Others pull back a slingshot. Stymie launches water balloons at the blaze. Petey lifts his leg to pee on some flames. The boys pass a bucket of water down a line, spilling some with each handoff. As Froggy goes to douse some flames, only a small trickle splashes from the bucket. He gazes inside it forlornly. At a payphone, Buckwheat and Porky stand in line behind several adults. Petey and Darla watch the clubhouse burn from the hill. Alfalfa remains passed out on the ground. As a man finishes his call, Buckwheat picks up the payphone receiver.
Quick! What's the number for 911?
How do I know?
He drops the receiver and shrugs.
Let's go!
Across the street at a fire station, firefighters stand idly near their trucks. Flames engulf the clubhouse as the boys scramble around it. Elmer, also dressed as a firefighter, looks through binoculars. Aha and Stymie run into an apartment building.
Here's a hose! Turn it on when I tell you!
Stymie carries the hose up the stairs as Aha keeps unreeling it.
Spanky! Over here!
Through an apartment window, Stymie throws down the hose. Spanky grabs it. Spanky dashes off in sped-up motion.
Wow, that is fast!
A boy roasts a marshmallow over the flames.
Hey, beat it, pal!
Spanky aims the hose at the clubhouse.
Stymie, let her in!
Spanky straddles the hose as Aha opens the valve. The water pressure lifts Spanky into the air.
Wow!
A wild jet of water knocks another boy to the ground. Spanky directs the spray at the flames. Later, water dribbles from the hose on the ground and a small fire smolders in the ruins of the clubhouse. Boys form a half circle standing over the passed out alfalfa. Darla approaches as Waldo makes his way over.
I'm never going to speak to you as long as I live. Tell him when he comes to, guys.
Spanky nods. Darla throws the ring at alfalfa.
Goodbye. Excuse me.
Stymie and Froggy make way for her.
Hi, Darla. I thought that was you. How about a ride in my father's Bentley? And then, over a Belgian croissant. We might talk about performing in the talent show together.
Sounds great. I had a hard day.
The clubhouse is fried crispy.
Our lives are over.
And it's all your fault.
Alfalfa sees the ruins.
That's right.
As the view flips on its axis, Spanky meets the others at the charred clubhouse.
For Judge Spanky!
Petey stands on his hind legs.
How do you plead?
Like this?
Alfalfa sinks to his knees.
Please, oh, please have mercy, please!
Pretty good pleading.
Would you like to make a statement?
Stymie looks over at Buckwheat.
Just that. I never knew liking a girl could lead to all this. I let my pals down, I let the club down, and I let my best friend down.
Alfalfa Switzer, I hereby sentence you to execution at dawn.
Yes!
Your Honor, may I suggest this court rules he be put on probation. As terms of the probation, he alone will be responsible for guarding the go-kart. Day and night. Court agrees.
Yeah. You mean you want me to spend the night here? All alone? Out in the open? What about the wild dingoes?
Deal with it. As another term of his probation, that he may never again talk to, see, or even think about Darla or else.
Stymie makes a slashing gesture across his throat and Petey growls.
And I'm making it my own personal business to see that you don't.
As Spanky bangs his tin can gavel, soup sprays out. Alfalfa buries his face in his hands.
Oh.
Later, lightning strikes as Darla and Alfalfa dance on a cliff overlooking a raging sea. She wears a long white dress and he's clad in a kilt and a shirt with a ruffled collar.
You are so beautiful to me.
I love you, Alfalfa.
I want to die in your arms.
You do?
Of course not right away.
A mob approaches.
I'm off to join Sir Spankus. How's the toothache, bub?
But you're my boy toy. I won't let you go. You must choose between us.
You must choose between us.
Sir Alfalfa, hold
what?
Maybe this would help you make up your mind.
Darla kisses him. Stymie stares at Alfalfa along with Spanky, who wears a Viking helmet. Porky and Buckwheat, dressed in plaid, play the bagpipes.
Tell me you'll never leave me.
I'll never leave you.
That's it, traitor. We must slay you before your forbidden love destroys our manly bond.
The angry mob marches toward Alfalfa, his eyes widen as he backs away. Arriving at the edge of a cliff, he struggles to keep his footing. He glances down at the waves pounding the rocky shore. The cliff's edge begins to give beneath his feet. As Darla and Spanky blow toward him, he falls from the cliff. Elmer waves. Seen from above, Alfalfa plummets toward the sea, limbs flailing. Thrashing around, he wakes up atop a sleeping bag in a tent.
He's up, Patch. Just us.
We came to keep you company.
Yeah.
Well, why am I soaking wet?
Don't worry, Alfalfa. I used to have the same problem.
This just the hole in the tent?
Spanky steps on the waterlogged sleeping bag, squirting Alfalfa in the face. A group of boys, including Buckwheat and Alfalfa, stare wide-eyed. Spanky looks on skeptically.
You're not thinking about Darla, are you?
No, of course not.
Good.
I wonder if she's not thinking of me, too.
Why are boys such jerks?
At a sleepover.
You're not thinking about Alfalfa, are you? Oh, no, 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 no way.
Are you sure?
Blonde twins look over mockingly.
Babes are like a bad song. Once you get them stuck in your head, you can't get them out again.
As the boys panic in the tent, the girls do the same in Darla's bedroom.
Why do they have to be so different? Girls get along with each other.
Boys stand up for themselves.
Girls share.
Boys take what's theirs.
Boys won't listen.
All they want to do is talk.
They like to moon ya.
No, we don't.
Giggling and gossiping.
Fighting and farting.
Barbies and bracelets.
Boogers and bugs.
Ice skating.
Bungee jumping.
Synchronized swimming.
The girls run around the bedroom.
I'm trying to get them to sit still.
Boys!
Yeah!
Girls!
Hey! And the worst thing of all,
they smell weird.
Daytime. A sign outside a lumberyard reads American Consolidated Merchandise Distributors. Spanky and Stymie wait in front of a counter. Boys with wagons and wheelbarrows stand behind them.
Howdy, mister.
A portly, dark-haired clerk turns around.
Me and my buddies have to build a new clubhouse. We need to buy some lumber.
What kind?
Wood. We took up a collection. Get us all the wood you can for this much, please.
The clerk looks at the assortment of coins and other small items on the counter and turns toward the merchandise. He holds out a tiny piece of balsa wood.
Paper or plastic?
Spanky leads the others down the sidewalk. Petey rides in Stymie's wagon.
$450 for lumber? Where are we gonna get that kind of moonwalk?
I don't know. You know what they say, wood doesn't grow on trees.
Stymie stops at a bank. A sign reads, ask about instant loans.
All in favor, say yo 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 yo.
A man opens the front door.
Thank you, my good man.
Appearing as tall as grown men, Stymie and Spanky enter wearing long black coats, wide-brimmed black hats, and beards. They approach a desk, its nameplate reading, Mr. Welling, loan officer.
Six kids, hard-working father, honest and trustworthy, loan denied.
Welling looks at his desk as he writes.
Hello, my good man.
Gentlemen, have a seat.
Spanky glances downward.
Can we sit down?
Are you kidding?
We can't sit down, my good man.
Now, what may I do for you?
We want to take out a hefty loan.
Of course, of course. Do you have an account with us?
And how?
What is your account?
Welling looks up at them.
Number?
7.
7? 7?
Froggy peeks from Spanky's coat.
Try 8.
8?
Heard enough.
Welling snaps their fake beards.
Ouch!
If you were my kids, I'd punish you.
If we were your kids, we'd punish ourselves.
Leave the premises, post haste.
You can't treat people this way, mister.
You're not people. You're kids.
Two bearded men wearing long black coats and wide-brimmed black hats approach the bank entrance. One holds the door open for the disguised children as they exit.
Thank you. Good luck.
Perched on a wooden tower, Alfalfa drops flower petals onto the blur below.
She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me.
You guys don't know what you're talking about.
I have to see her.
But that's a violation of your probation.
Buckwheat and Porky climb up.
I know. I'll write a message, and you two can take it to her.
Wait a second. We're he-man woman haters. We can't deliver love notes.
Love note? No, this is going to be a hate note.
Sounds good to me.
Alfalfa grabs a pad of paper.
Dear Darla, I hate your stinking guts.
Porky grins.
You make me vomit. You're scum between
the note reads, Dear Darla,
toes.
I can't live without you. Really, I'm not kidding. You're Romeo, Alfalfa.
Okay.
Later.
What's up, guys?
On her porch, Darla wears a tutu.
Buckwheat, where's the note?
Note.
I know I got here somewhere. Come on, guys. We'll find it.
Buckwheat pulls a deflated balloon from his pocket. Darla taps her foot impatiently.
I'm waiting.
Buckwheat takes more junk from his pockets. Porky blows his nose in a crinkled piece of paper.
I know. I gave it to you.
It's the note.
What's going on?
Sorry.
It's okay. I remember what it said. Dear Darla, I hate your stinking guts. You make me vomit. You're scum between my toes. Love, Alfalfa.
Darla crushes a soda can in her bare hand.
Whoa.
Outside the shed.
Was she upset? Oh, I have to go to her house and explain what happened.
Forget it, pal. Number one, she's not home because she has a ballet recital. Number two, what was number two?
Porky whispers to him.
No, not that. The other number two.
Spanky said you couldn't talk to her. What? I can talk to Darla anytime I want. Spanky's not the boss of me.
Spanky waves.
Hiya, pal.
Oh, no.
Alfalfa begins collecting the flower petals strewn atop the blur. Later, he and Spanky stroll down a walkway.
Trust me, this is for your own good. If you dump her, you'll feel like a new man. But I like the feel of the old man.
Outside a building, a woman hands out programs.
Hello, enjoy the show. Who are you with?
I'm with him, and we need to talk to Darla.
I'm afraid that's out of the question. She's about to go on stage. Now, clear the door. One.
Too bad. Woo! Let's go.
Hold it, partner. We're waiting right here till Darla comes out.
Oh, man.
Back at the remains of the clubhouse, Porky and Buckwheat march around the blur. Shouldering their fishing poles like rifles, they nearly collide.
Whoops!
Butch and Woim crawl among the clubhouse ruins where they spy on Porky and Buckwheat.
This will be like stealing candy from a baby.
Buckwheat bumps into Porky and falls.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
A little later, Porky and Buckwheat nap inside the blur, their heads pressed together. A duck waddles past them with a dollar tied to its leg.
Hey, look, a dollar!
Porky and Buckwheat run up the hill after the duck.
Ducky, ducky! I want you, ducky, ducky, ducky!
Butch and Woyma approach the blur.
Nothing beats a buck and a duck.
Hey, dumb duck, wait up!
Butch pulls the key from the ignition and the attached string sets off a booby trap.
What's this?
A rolling bowling ball drops onto a crate atop a seesaw, which tilts up and causes a jar of pickles to fly in their direction. Holding the cash on a string, Buckwheat does a happy dance along with Porky near a flock of ducks. Outside the dance academy.
I'm bored.
Spanky hands him a frog.
Ta-da!
Gee, thanks!
Across the way, Butch and Woyma approach Waldo's chauffeur.
Uh-oh! Butch and Woy, put that thing in your pocket and let's bail!
Hey, there they are!
With Spanky behind him, Alfalfa runs into the building and opens a door.
Whoops.
He tries another door.
Whoops.
He opens a third door.
Let's go.
They enter the costume room just as Butch and Woy peek in the first room.
Whoops.
They arrive at the second.
Whoops.
As Butch opens the costume room door, Spanky and Alfalfa exit in wigs and tutus.
Hiya, big boys.
Woof, woof, ditto. Say, you two chicklets see a couple of ugly mugs who ran in here?
You mean besides you? I think they went in there.
Butch and Woym start down a hallway.
Thanks, Dollface.
Bye.
Alfalfa and Spanky wave to Butch and Woym, who creep stealthily to a door.
One, two.
Behind it, the teacher finishes dressing.
What are you doing? You two do not belong here.
I shall escort you to the door.
She pulls them by their ears.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Alfalfa leads Spanky into a room where Darla and her classmates wait.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you a fairy?
No.
You know, a sugar plum fairy.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
Alfalfa's eyes go wide.
What's the matter?
Oh, she must have a frog in her throat.
I'm so nervous.
I'm sweating like a pig. It must be the recital.
Come here.
Darla leads Alfalfa by the hand.
Here's my hanky.
Gee, thanks.
He wipes his face and armpits, then offers Darla the handkerchief.
No, that's all right. You keep it. I'm nervous, too. Waldo's gonna be here.
Waldo's Darla's boyfriend.
Do you have boyfriends?
No. Of course not. But there is one boy I'd really love to get to know. His name is Alfalfa. What a physique.
Are you crazy? I used to know Alfalfa. He took the best years of my life.
Same here. That ugly scud led me on as if he cared, then dropped me like a hot tamale.
Spanky turns to Alfalfa, who glowers.
Plus, you know what?
No, why?
I hear he dresses in girls' clothes.
Alfalfa grimaces.
I don't miss him at all, except...
He gazes expectantly.
His voice. When he sings, he makes me melt like a popsicle on the 4th of July.
Spanky grimaces.
He is awfully romantical.
Well, it was lovely chatting, but we really gotta go.
Hi!
Alfalfa and Spanky blend in with the others. The audience sits attentively.
Hey, Spanky, what are we doing?
The dancers stand poised in two lines on stage.
And now, scenes from the Nutcracker.
Alfalfa holds the frog in front of his tutu as he and Spanky flit around the stage with the others.
And two, three.
Alfalfa hands the frog to Spanky.
Get rid of it.
Spanky puts the frog down Alfalfa's tutu. Across the stage, Spanky moves clumsily. The boys leap erratically, out of sync with the routine.
Come here, hold my hand! Are you nuts?
They stand at the front of the stage, holding hands and kicking out their legs. Alfalfa twirls. As the teacher becomes increasingly angrier, the frog travels around Alfalfa's tutu before settling against his leg beneath his tights. Waldo looks on, chuckling. At the sight of the stage, Spanky lifts his arms as he rocks from leg to leg. An elderly audience member watches, aghast. Spanky's fairy wings flap as he moves. As Alfalfa twirls, the teacher grimaces. He and Spanky spin hand in hand near the giggling Darla. The teacher waves her arms. As many audience members crack up, one shocked man consults his program. With the routine breaking into chaos around him, Spanky wiggles his fingers beneath his chin. The teacher looks away. As Alfalfa bows, Spanky blows a raspberry behind him.
Let's get out of here!
The boys dash off stage.
Good thing I finally caught that frog!
Yeah, now you got worried about his warts!
Alfalfa runs behind a floor-to-ceiling curtain. The teacher storms over to Spanky.
You ruined my recital!
A wig drops at her feet.
Come on out of there, young lady!
I wouldn't open that if I was you.
Alfalfa emerges, stripped down to his briefs.
Oh. Well, this is a professional school of ballet. Now get out and do not come back!
Trapped beneath the wig, the frog hops toward the teacher. Alfalfa and Spanky spy Woim and Butch through the window of a door and then duck down. Spanky struts out of the building.
Hello again, you stud muffins. Going my way?
Gee, we'd love to. But we're waiting around to beat the shorts off a couple of twerps.
Alfalfa flees.
You're lost, baby.
Butch and Woim watch as Spanky saunters off, swinging his hips.
Got a burger to go with that shake?
Spanky's wig catches a tree branch and comes loose. Spanky dashes off, fairy wings fluttering.
Come back here, you ugly little freak!
Butch and Woim give chase. Spanky rounds a corner and runs into a building with the sign The Boys Club next to the door. Butch and Woim round the corner but run past the building's entrance. Then a man shoves Spanky outside.
And stay out!
In sped up motion, Spanky bolts across the street. Elsewhere, Alfalfa sprints down a tree-lined sidewalk, a desperate look on his face. He bolts past a church. As he crosses the street, he runs in between two nuns who turn and gawk.
Things couldn't possibly get any worse!
Butch and Woim appear.
Oh, then the clouds open up and God said, I hate you, Alfalfa.
Nice tan. Any last words?
See ya!
He takes off running. With Butch and Woim in pursuit, Alfalfa cuts across a perfectly manicured yard and into a mansion. He evades a woman wearing an apron and bow tie who intercepts Butch and Woim at the entrance. Inside, Alfalfa bounces off a maid carrying a tray and falls down.
I'll let myself out. Thank you.
Well, you better.
Alfalfa bows and exits through a back door as the front door closes. Chased by a Doberman Pinscher through a patio, Alfalfa dives into an Olympic-sized swimming pool. In super sped-up motion, he swims to the opposite side. Hoisting himself out, he rubs water from his face. His eyes widen as he looks down, then he grabs his briefs, which float in the pool. Seated on a step of the adjacent wading pool, Waldo and Darla smirk.
Alfalfa!
This is the side of you I've never seen before.
Darla, there's a perfectly logical explanation for this. Which I'll make up later.
Fifi chases Alfalfa. Meanwhile, outside the clubhouse, Porky and Buckwheat sit in the blur, munching on pickles.
Do you like pickles?
I think they stink.
Buckwheat takes a large bite.
I love pickles. My mother makes me eat them. I'm crazy about them. I'll sell you my pickles for a nickel.
How about 2 cents?
Okay. I have two pickles. I have two pickles. I have two pickles today. Hey, hey. Do take these later, boy. Bing, big old. I get two pickles today. Today.
Alfalfa runs toward them.
Rough day?
ask.
Are these kosher?
Porky and Buckwheat hold their hands up and shrug as Alfalfa runs into the shed behind them. Elsewhere, a marching band passes beneath an arch made of black and white balloons. The musicians make a sudden turn and file through the archways of a gazebo. Rides and games fill a carnival midway where the boys enter, some carrying bundled blankets. Now, Stymie dressed in a tuxedo and Spanky in a striped jacket eye their makeshift booth.
Looking good. This is gonna be a piece of cake.
Froggy makes signs.
Panky, me and Porky got an idea.
Keep it. You might need it when you grow up.
Okay.
One sign reads, Spanky's Believe It or Else, 1/4.
Hey, maybe this will work.
Another reads, Admission, $3. Behind curtains of hanging sheets, a boy wearing a fake mustache eats a drumstick out of a bucket of fried chicken.
Hey, folks, we need to make some money!
Give me a quarter, $5, anything!
We need to build a new clubhouse!
Just hurry, hurry!
Fairgoers walk right past. Elsewhere, papers lie on the ground.
I will not think of Darla.
Alfalfa sits near Petey.
I will not think of Darla.
He writes on a notepad.
I will not think of Darla.
The sentence fills a page top to bottom.
Maybe Spanky's right. Maybe I should just forget about love. Dang, I'm out of paper.
Petey jumps down from his perch, trots off, then returns.
Paper.
With a roll of toilet paper between his jaws, Petey heads towards the ruins of the clubhouse. He grabs a discarded sheet of paper and brings it to Alfalfa.
Thanks, Petey.
It's Spanky's things to do list with check marks next to gas explosion, sneaker juice, and sandwiches.
Skunked by that sleazy sidewinder Spanky! It's his fault Darla hates me.
Alfalfa jumps into the blur and puts a white helmet on his head. Petey sits up alertly. Alfalfa begins to drive away.
Hop in, Petey! Sit!
Petey sits in the passenger seat as the go-kart proceeds down the bumpy hill. Back at the fair.
Come on, Spanky, so things didn't quite pan out.
Didn't quite pan out. We had less money than when we came.
Hey, I thought the talent show was supposed to be free.
Buckwheat and Porky man a table. As the boys gather dollar bills on the table, a blonde woman hovers nearby.
Spanky McFarlane.
Miss Crabtree.
I would expect this from a 4-year-old, but not from you.
The other boys run.
Spanky, tricking people out of their money is wrong. It's just like cheating on your homework.
She puts the money in a jar.
But I...
What are we to do with all this money? We can't give it back to these people one by one.
Miss Crabtree... I got a suggestion. All we could do is...
She leans toward him and he whispers in her ear.
Interesting. Intriguing. I love it.
Spanky rubs his hands together. Arriving at the fairgrounds, the blur pulls to a stop outside a canopy. Meanwhile, blue curtains part and Darla, dressed in a red sparkly dress, steps on stage beside Waldo, who wears a white tuxedo. Hanging silver stars and a crescent moon decorate the backdrop. As Waldo snaps his fingers, Darla rocks to the beat.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only
Alfalfa approaches the stage and stops, watching Waldo address Darla. Waldo kneels and Darla perches on his bent leg. Alfalfa frowns.
Miss Crabtree, do you got room for just one more act?
I think we could squeeze you in.
Thanks, Miss Crabtree.
You're welcome.
Well, fellas, your president saved your bacon. I convinced Miss Crabtree to use the money as first prize in the go-kart derby.
Yeah!
Just think, in 3 days, the money's ours.
Everything else may have gone wrong, but there's no way we can lose the race.
Meanwhile, Butch and Woym sneak up to the blur, staring greedily at its sleek red and white styling. They glance around cautiously, then break into smiles.
Yeah.
They hop in the go-kart.
The blur belongs to Butch and Woym.
They peel out, now backstage.
Well, if it isn't falafel, alfalfa.
Whatever. I hope you didn't miss my duet with Darla.
You call that a duet?
It was stupendous. She wasn't bad either.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my
darling.
What
on earth are you doing?
I'm warming up my vocalizer. I'm about to win Darla back through song.
Waldo eyes Alfalfa's water glass.
I'm the barber of Saltville.
Unnoticed, he squirts dish soap into the glass.
Don't you get it? Darla can't stand you.
Alfalfa, you're on.
Alfalfa picks up the glass.
Darla will love me after I sing to her. Darla can't resist my voice. She said so herself.
Come on, dear.
The curtains part. Alfalfa steps on the stage holding the glass. Petey and the boys look on.
This is a song about a tragic romance. I once fell in love with a girl. And through schemes and betrayals by my best friend, she came to think I was nothing more than a he-man woman hater. But I'm a woman lover. So let me raise a toast to the girl I love most in the whole world.
Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name.
Darla.
Her hand covers her face. Alfalfa takes a drink while Waldo in the audience smiles. Alfalfa's eyes widen and he takes a long swallow. He quickly shakes his head and puts the glass on the floor.
If I could make a wish, I'd see, I'd pass.
Bubbles emerge from his mouth.
Think of anything I need. No.
I'm gonna put that fool out of his misery.
No lights. No sound.
Spanky sneaks backstage and pulls a rope.
All I need is the air that I breathe to love you.
A large bubble pops over an audience member's head.
All I need is the air that I breathe.
With another pull of the rope, the hanging moon becomes hooked on Alfalfa's suspenders, lifting him off his feet before Spanky lowers him to the stage. Darla leaves and Spanky smirks. Alfalfa unhooks himself from the moon and crawls off stage. In the audience, Porky pops a bubble.
Hey! Well, hello, Mr. Bubbles.
That was the most disgusting display, shame and woman loving I've ever seen. Yeah. Don't talk to me, you Benedict Arnold! You Judas Priest! This is all your fault!
All my fault!
You torched the clubhouse.
And it's all my fault? You're supposed to be guarding the go-kart, you muzak wobbling wimp.
Relax, you double-crossing mud muncher. I parked it right over there.
Alfalfa leads the others through the canopy, then stops in his tracks, mouth agape.
It was right here.
Well, where is it?
Boy, you're messing up left and right.
That's it, you sissy fat tree bird.
wish I had a club to throw you out of.
Me too.
Well, you sewer-swinging slime ball, if there still was a club, I'd quit.
As Alfalfa storms off, a huge bubble bursts from the seat of his pants. As Spanky sits glumly on his front porch, Alfalfa does the same outside his own house.
I've had bad dreams.
On a bench, Stymie tosses a ball and catches it. He misses and it falls into a trash can. Petting his lizard, Froggy heaves a sigh. Porky and Buckwheat sit on the dock, each with their own checkerboard. Nearby, Elmer plays chess. Elsewhere, Petey knocks over his dog food bowl, then rests his muzzle near his outstretched paws. As Spanky fidgets on his porch, cradling his chin in his hands, Alfalfa does the same outside his own house.
Why don't you go make up with him, Alfalfa? You guys have been friends since you were one.
He started it, and you should finish it. You're a team, like Bert and Ernie, Superman and Clark Kent, Millie and Vanilli.
Now with Spanky.
At least go talk to him. What could it cost?
You mean besides my dignity and pride?
All I know is you only make a once-in-a-lifetime buddy. Once-in-a-lifetime.
Stymie nods firmly. Spanky sits holding his head with his eyes narrowed. Alfalfa looks downward thoughtfully. In a split-screen view, Alfalfa and Spanky get up from their porches at the same time and head down their walkways. Gaze downcast, Alfalfa tramps through a storm drain, while above, Spanky trudges along a sidewalk in the opposite direction. Later, on Spanky's front porch, Alfalfa faces a husky man wearing a beanie.
Is Spanky home?
I'm sorry, Alfalfa. Spanky isn't here.
I'm sorry, Spanky. Alfalfa's not here.
Alfalfa's dad sports a tall cowlick.
Darn. Darn.
I'd give anything to see you.
The two friends meet near a leafless tree.
I thought I'd find you here.
I'm sorry I called you a double-crossing mud muncher and a sewer-swinging slime ball.
I'm sorry I called you a sissy-fied Tweety Bird and a Muzak warbling wimp.
I'm sorry I called you a barf-encrusted jumbo jerk.
You didn't call me a barf-encrusted jumbo jerk.
Oh, I guess I was just thinking it. I'm sorry about the fire.
I'm sorry about messing up your picnic lunch with Darla. Maybe I'm sort of responsible for the fire too, a little.
You know, Spanky, I like girls. It might even get worse as I get older.
I know you like girls, Falf. The problem is rules.
But is women hating the important thing? I mean, couldn't we be a club because we like something?
The others approach.
Shoot, it's our clubhouse. We don't have a club.
Hey, you guys run down a clubhouse, not a club.
A club is buddies who stick together no matter what.
More boys make their way down the hill.
I just wish we could still enter the go-kart derby. But it's impossible.
Who says it's impossible? Every one of us working together. Pal, that's all the possible we need.
Alfalfa and Spanky shake hands, then share a hug. Later, in Alfalfa's yard, the boys and Petey huddle around a table. Elmer sits near Spanky. Stymie sketches a detailed go-kart design using the knobs of an Etch-a-Sketch. The others all head in different directions. With Petey in tow, Buckwheat and Porky look through trash in an alley. At his house, Spanky follows Alfalfa into the laundry room, glances around cautiously, and closes the door. They emerge covered in soap suds which spill onto the walkway as they carry off parts of the washing machine. Back at Alfalfa's, Stymie turns the dial of the washing machine control panel from wash to rinse to spin to soap. Petey, Porky, and Buckwheat continue on down the alley. Buckwheat hands Petey a pair of goggles. The boys and dog return to the backyard carrying their various finds.
Screwdriver! Screwdriver!
They work to assemble a jerry-rigged go-kart. A boy affixes a bowling trophy to the hood area, which is made from a large rusted birdcage. A flashback shows Buckwheat finding the cage in the alley, then placing it over Porky's head. In single file, each boy lugs another piece of the go-kart.
Ratchet! Ratchet!
Porky and Buckwheat pull a wagon loaded down by a large plastic garbage bin. Uh-huh sits inside.
Hey, Uh-huh, does it stink in there?
Uh-huh.
In the backyard.
Monkey Ranch.
Elmer hands it to him. Writing on the go-kart reads, The Blur 2, the sequel. Spanky gives Alfalfa a key. At the fairgrounds, go-karts sit behind the starting line.
Hey everybody, don't forget, following the go-kart derby, there will be a Tiny Tot bunny race at 3:30. Entrance must be 5 years and under. See you there.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the 73rd annual go-kart derby.
The red-haired MC stands at a table behind a trophy. The boys sit in the grandstand waving to Alfalfa and Spanky, who wave back and climb into the Blur too.
Stop horsing around. You're gonna break your neck.
Alfalfa gazes off.
How are we gonna beat that?
It looks like the Blur with a new paint job.
Butch and Woim salute from their gray go-kart named the Beast 2 and decorated with skeletons. A silver go-kart with a red W comes down a street. Porky and Buckwheat run.
We're going to the race. We're going to win first place. And you have an ugly face.
Waldo drives his silver streamlined go-kart with Darla riding behind him. He pulls out a mobile phone with a long antenna and calls a floppy-haired, middle-aged man.
Hi, Dad, it's me. You're gonna be so proud of me. I'm gonna win this race.
Waldo, you're the best son money can buy.
Thanks, Dad.
His dad sits in the stands.
I don't have an ugly face. You have an ugly face. You have an ugly face.
You have an ugly face.
Your mother has an ugly face.
Porky absently turns an arrowed sign from right to straight.
Now the race course is marked off with arrows, and it ends right back here where it started from.
A race official approaches Miss Crabtree.
Oh, great. This is the prize money for the winner of the race.
Okay.
It's just about $500. Just say it's from an anonymous donor.
You got it.
She hands him the jar.
Waldo, hurry up, we're late.
Oh, please, we're making an entrance. Just sit back, relax, and leave everything to moi.
Darla puts her helmet on, face hidden behind its dark visor.
I wonder where AJ Ferguson is. I don't know, but I can't wait to meet him.
Okay, guys, this is it. Fasten your seatbelts.
Waldo arrives.
Well, well, Mr. Johnston, nice of you to join us. The last car is finally in position.
Well, if it isn't Waldo. All the money in the world, no substitute for hard work and ingenuity.
You lead a rich fantasy life.
Thank you.
Moron.
What are you doing with that?
It's Darla's handkerchief. All great knights ride into battle, wearing the colors of their lady fair.
I'm not hearing this. I'm
smiling,
not hearing
Darla sneaks
this.
A peek at Alfalfa, who ties the handkerchief to the bowling trophy on the hood. Buckwheat points to a woman with dreadlocks.
Hey, look! My mom's here!
Whoopee!
She holds her hand under her chin and wiggles her fingers. The boys signal back.
The first racer to cross the finish line will receive this genuine, gold-plated, cubic zirconian-encrusted trophy.
The race official approaches the podium holding the money jar and whispers to the MC.
As well as the prize of $500!
The MC's eyes widen. Spanky shoots the boys a thumbs up and they gesture back enthusiastically. A view of the starting line shows the go-karts lined up in two rows. In front, the Blur 2 sits between Waldo's vehicle and the Beast 2.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Waldo gazes through the visor of his space-age helmet at Butch and Woim as drivers put their vehicles in gear. Podium above the street lowers a green flag. The go-karts speed away from the starting line. Waldo and Darla pull slightly ahead of Alfalfa and Spanky. In the Beast 2, Woim and Butch glare menacingly. The hood of one go-kart is assembled from a footlocker while another vehicle's body is formed out of a rowboat's hull. A kid drives a white and mint green go-kart in the shape of a pickup truck down the middle lane. The vehicles, all in a cluster, weave in and out as the drivers jockey for position.
String, Woim!
Woym opens a box mounted on the beast too, revealing six cans which shoot aerosol string at the go-karts behind them. The rowboat and pickup truck drivers lose control of their vehicles, which veer off the course. The beast too overtakes several vehicles. Butch and Woym accelerate toward the leaders of the race. They pass Waldo and Darla and pull up next to Alfalfa and Spanky, who looks over.
You snot one star racer! Finders keepers, losers suck! Bite me!
Approaching an intersection, Waldo's go-kart weaves behind Alfalfa and Spanky's.
Waldo, I think we have to turn here!
Girls have no sense of direction.
You know, you're starting to get on my nerves.
Waldo follows the arrow that Porky accidentally turned. The Blur 2 and the Beast 2 follow Waldo's vehicle down the street. A race official rushes to move the arrow to the correct direction and the other competitors turn right. The three wrong-way vehicles head through a quiet side street before turning onto a main thoroughfare and speeding through a supermarket parking lot. A woman jumps into her shopping cart to avoid them. The Blur 2 speeds on the walkway, upending several shoppers. A man with a cane is thrown into the air.
You little rascals!
Sorry! 10 points for the old guy!
Back on the street, the three vehicles pull even with one another.
It's time to lose these losers! Atomic batteries to power! Turbines to speed!
Fiery exhaust shoots out from the back of Waldo's go-kart, which leaves the others behind. The Blur 2 comes to a stop. Spanky sets the dial on the dashboard to the spin cycle. The go-kart spins in dizzying circles before shooting off down the road in a blur, leaving dark skid marks on the asphalt.
Activate rocket boosters!
Front-pointing boosters extend from the Beast 2 and throw off sparks, then the vehicle stops. Butch clutches the steering wheel as the fireworks propel the go-kart in reverse down an empty street. Alfalfa and Spanky speed down a deserted street, Darla's handkerchief billowing from the trophy. They come up alongside Waldo's racer.
These two again? I really hate to do this!
Jagged spikes extend from beneath Waldo's front fenders. One spike jabs their hubcap repeatedly, causing the Blur 2 to careen wildly. Waldo gives them one final nudge, forcing the Blur 2 to veer sharply right down another street.
Hey, you could have killed them!
Just forget about that soap-sucking nincompoop!
So you're responsible for the bubbles at the talent show! Pull over right now! I'm not finishing this race with you!
You got it, babe. Now get out!
Alfalfa continues to drive the shaky go-kart while Spanky pulls out a piece of paper.
We're in tarnation our way!
Leaving Darla on the side of the road at the foot of a hill, Waldo speeds off. At an intersection, Alfalfa spies other go-karts over his shoulder.
Look! We're back in the race! Hey, pretty good shortcut!
Waldo's vehicle follows close behind. Butch opens an emergency flare. He hurls it, and it lodges in the bowling trophy on the hood of the Blur 2.
Yeah! What's that?
Thick smoke wafts from the flare.
Where are we?
The Blur 2 weaves out of control.
What's going on? I
can't see! Waldo's go-kart pulls up next to them, and he sprays the flare with a fire extinguisher. Woym watches.
Hey, mind your business, rich boy! What a guy! Thanks, pal!
Waldo waves. As the three vehicles approach a curb in the road, Darla's handkerchief flies off the trophy and covers Alfalfa's face. He pulls it free.
Grab the wheel!
Are you crazy or something? We got a fish line to cross!
Not with
Spanky takes the wheel as Alfalfa climbs onto the hood. He throws the extinguished flare onto the street and slips as he starts to tie the handkerchief.
Watch out! You're gonna fall!
Alfalfa loses his grip on the trophy as they drive past the grandstand. The beast 2 inches ahead with Butch and Warren staring through their goggles. Alfalfa's hands dangle off the front of the Blur 2 as he lies sprawled on his belly atop the hood. As the fans cheer, the Blur 2 weaves down the middle of the street in between Waldo's vehicle and the Beast 2. The three go-karts race neck and neck toward the finish line. The checkered flag waves and an instant photo shows Alfalfa's cowlick poking across the finish line. Buckwheat's mom pumps her fist. As Elmer jumps up, an organ grinder's monkey in a pink dress looks over. Alfalfa takes off his goggles, plucks the handkerchief from the trophy, and climbs down.
You did it, Alfalfa! You won!
We did it! All of us!
Gentlemen, let's give Alfalfa a big spolioli!
Spolioli! Spolioli!
Alfalfa walks off and stops near a pig pen. He bows to his friends as Butch and Moing approach.
Trouble of stealing your racer and you still win. Better brace yourself because now I'm really gonna kick your butt.
I'm usually a lover, not a fighter, but in your case, I'm willing to make an exception.
Alfalfa punches Butch, who crashes through the pig pen fence, landing face down in a muddy pig wallow.
Pig pucky!
Alfalfa puts up his dukes.
Warren
dives into the wallow beside Butch, then they turn their mud-caked faces toward the others.
Looking good, man.
Yeah.
Hey, there's the guy who risked his neck for us. I gotta admit, you turned out to be pretty okay. Darn it.
Spanky shakes Waldo's hand.
Put it there, pal. You're quite a guy. Us machismo types have a club, a He-Man Woman Haters Club. Alfalfa, I'm extending a membership offer here. Now, what is it?
That's not Waldo. You'll be hearing from my lawyers.
Waldo glares from his sedan.
Then who's this guy who saved our butts?
Darla removes the helmet.
Hi, guys. What's up?
A girl.
Spanky faints into Alfalfa's arms.
Well, don't that beat all.
Darla's friends run over to her while Alfalfa and Stymie fan Spanky with their hands.
Spanky!
And now it gives me great pleasure to present this beautiful trophy and the prize money to Alfalfa Switzer and Spanky McFarlane.
On the winner's podium, Alfalfa holds the trophy and Spanky cradles the jar.
Is that a cow lick or are you just glad to see me? Ah, the strong, silent type, eh?
Don't take this personal, lady, but my pal's real disappointed.
Oh, what's the matter, Sugar Pie?
Well, we were just kind of hoping that A.J. Ferguson was going to give us the trophy.
Well, boys, today's your lucky day.
The MC takes off her jacket.
Because that's exactly who I am.
The back of her shirt reads Ferguson.
You're the best driver there is.
Well, thank you very much, and you didn't do so bad yourself.
She kisses Spanky's cheek.
Say, let's even things up. How about more on this side?
There you go.
AJ puts her arms around both boys, smiling. Spanky turns, revealing lipstick marks covering both cheeks. Carrying the trophy in the money jar, Alfalfa and Spanky lead the others through the fairgrounds. Darla and her friends arrive.
I saw what you did to save my hanky, Alfalfa. That was very heartwarming and awfully romantical.
Gee, thanks, but I thought you hated me.
I don't hate you. It's just sometimes you do mean things, like playing tricks on me at our picnic.
Oh, I can explain that. It was me who wrecked your picnic with Alfalfa. You see, I thought you was trying to steal my best friend.
I thought you were trying to sabotage our club. But I think I was wrong. I'm sorry, you guys.
My Alfalfinator. My delectable Darloony.
Spanky purses his lips and shakes his head. Alfalfa wiggles his ears. Darla walks to him and they embrace. Spanky shrugs, his shoulders hunched. Now, at the rebuilt clubhouse, the entrance sign reads, He-Man Woman Haters Club, Women Welcome. As boys and girls mingle, Stymie, Porky, and Buckwheat chat with newcomers.
So, do you live around here?
Yeah. You like dolls?
Mm-mm. I do.
Froggy shows off his lizard.
Cool.
Elmer jumps near the organ grinder's monkey.
Say, have we betrayed our forefathers? Have we trampled on the generations of honest woman haters who came before us?
Uh-huh shakes his head.
Uh-uh. Hey, everybody. Uh-huh's learned a new word. Actually, I've always had a rather extensive vocabulary, not to mention a phenomenal grasp of grammar and a superlative command of syntax. I simply chose not to employ them.
Okay.
A girl gives Aha a smooch on the cheek, then Froggy kisses another girl's cheek. Elmer presses his lips to the organ grinder monkeys.
Well, I guess things just have to change sometimes.
Spanky shrugs and Petey rolls his eyes. Fade to black. Now a clapboard closes as a gag reel plays.
What's my line?
Whoa, you know you must have been a beautiful baby.
Spanky turns feet first in the air as he grips the fire hose. Travis Tedford is Spanky.
When you was only starting to go to kindergarten.
What?
Stymie's beard snaps against his chin. Kevin Jamal Woods is Stymie.
Yeah, when it come to winning blue ribbons.
Froggy makes a funny face and sticks his lizard in his overalls pocket. Jordan Warcall is Froggy.
Let's start over again.
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
No.
You have the hiccups?
Yes.
Okay, cut.
I used to have this.
Don't worry.
I forgot the word.
Zachary Mabry is Porky. Ross Elliott Bagley is Buckwheat. Porky and Buckwheat try three times to high-five before they get it right.
What a relief!
Uh-huh sticks a pencil up his nose. Cortland Mead as Uh-huh.
Yuck!
Butch and Woym appear covered in blue paint, mud, and pickle juice. Sam Saleta is Butch and Blake Jeremy Collins as Woym.
Allow me to introduce myself.
What an idiot.
Watch it, bud.
Blake MacIver Ewing is Waldo. Darla's friends smile and wave. Juliet Brewer is Marianne and Heather Karasek is Jane.
You had the most...
Don't look at the camera, sweetie. Honey, don't look at the camera.
Brittany Ashton Holmes is Darla. Alfalfa's eyes widen. He twists his ear with one hand. He wiggles his ears. Bug Hall is Alfalfa. Elmer throws his hands in the air. Elmer is himself. At the fair, Petey poses for a photo with his head poking through the cutout of a female dog owner. Petey is himself. In the grandstand, Waldo's dad peers over an adjacent fan's bag of popcorn. She notices, then looks away. He steals a kernel and pops it in his mouth.
Now, the race course is marked off with arrows, and it'll start right, and it'll end. Thank you. And it will end.
Paper or plastic?
The blonde twins lie groggily on Darla's bed.
And it will end. And it ends. It ends. That's how I knew I'd find it, though.
Waldo's dad spits out the kernel.
That is bad popcorn.
The ballet teacher smiles and applauds, then something catches her eye. Glaring, she storms off. Two bubbles pop on Miss Crabtree's chest. Mr. Welling gapes. Stymie's girlfriend smiles, back in the grandstand.
Well, you'll tell me when we're not going yet. Okay.
Now, the race course is marked off with arrows, and it ends right back here where it started from.
Getting.
Well, they got that sucker.
Okay.
Buckwheat poses with his mom. Special guest appearances by Mel Brooks as Mr. Welling, Whoopi Goldberg as Buckwheat's mom, Daryl Hannah as Miss Crabtree, Reba McEntire as A.J. Ferguson, Ashley Olsen, Mary Kate Olsen as twins. Raven Simone is Stymie's girlfriend, Leah Thompson is Miss Roberts, Donald Trump is Waldo's dad, George Wendt is lumberyard clerk. More credits roll. Animal action was monitored by the American Humane Association. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. The producers would like to thank Hal Roach and the original Little Rascals. Copyright 1994, Universal City Studios Incorporated and Amblin Entertainment Incorporated. All rights reserved. The Little Rascals produced under license from King World Productions Incorporated and Turner Entertainment Company. Country of first publication, United States of America. Universal City Studios Incorporated and Amblin Entertainment Incorporated are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal, voiced by Mike DeBonis. The moon silhouettes a boy riding his bike in the sky with a shrouded figure in his basket. Amblin Entertainment.